Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Friday, May 29th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. The Alaska Marine Highway System canceled multiple sailings for the Tustamina due to a broken bow thruster. The ferry is docked in Homer through today while crews address the issue. Officials say the Tustamina will resume its regular schedule Saturday morning with a 10:30 sailing from Homer to Kodiak. The Federal Aviation Administration has proposed fining Alaska Airlines $165,000 for allegedly allowing intoxicated passengers to board its flights. Federal regulations prohibit airlines from allowing anyone who appears to be intoxicated to board an aircraft. The FAA alleges Alaska Airlines did so on 11 occasions between February 2024 and February 2025. In a statement, an Alaska Airlines spokesperson says the company fully participated in an FAA audit that investigated policies and practices related to intoxicated guests on board its aircraft. As a result, Alaska Airlines says it made, quote, meaningful changes, including enhanced training for flight attendants and customer service agents. Alaska Airlines has several options in responding to the notice, including disputing the fine within 30 days. The airline did not say whether it would challenge the proposed penalty. State lawmakers voted to increase state unemployment benefits for the first time since 2009 during the state legislature's race to the finish last week. Senators attached the change to a largely unrelated travel insurance bill. If signed by Governor Mike Dunleavy, House Bill 302 would increase the maximum weekly benefit by $100 to $470. It would also triple the allowance for dependents to $72 per week. Future increases in the weekly benefit would be linked to wage growth. Juneau Democratic Senator Jesse Keel explained to his Senate colleagues shortly before the vote that the change would put Alaska just above the median unemployment benefit. About 1 in 50 Alaskans got at least one payment in 2024.
This simply provides a little improvement to a system, a support that you really need when you're looking for a job. It keeps folks housed and fed. Certainly doesn't keep anybody rolling in it.
He said the change included in House Bill 302 would not require employers to increase their employment contributions because the account that funds unemployment insurance is already, quote, tremendously overfunded. An official with the State Department of Labor and Workforce Development verified that in testimony to lawmakers last year. Alaska's unemployment benefit would still be substantially lower than in many states, including Washington, which offers workers up to roughly $1,150 per week. Representative Zach Fields, an Anchorage Democrat, said the bump in benefits would help Alaska retain construction workers and other tradespeople.
One of the reasons we've been losing skilled trades workers is they can't make ends meet. And in every other state in the Pacific Northwest, they can earn a lot better wages, recognizing that construction, oil, and gas is inherently seasonal.
The bill passed the Senate along caucus lines, 14-6, and in a wider cross-caucus vote of 34-6 in the House, Governor Mike Dunleavy has not said whether he plans to sign the bill. A federally funded program aims to install thousands of heat pumps across southern Alaska by late 2029, but the program's first year has been slow, as Avery Elfeld reports for the Alaska Desk. The groups managing the effort are ramping up advertising in hopes of boosting interest and reducing energy bills.
Mardell Gunn lives 40 miles north of Haines, where winters are particularly cold, long, and snowy. She heats her home in two ways: a wood stove, and a 25-year-old oil boiler in the basement.
The worst thing in the world would be to have the boiler go out in the middle of the winter.
Soon, she won't have to worry about that. Gunn is getting an air source heat pump installed, paid for in large part by a federal grant. Hundreds of households across Alaska's Gulf Coast have applied to the program.
I'm doing it because I would really like to use less fossil fuels and be less dependent upon the heating oil.
Gunn will receive $8,500 from the Accelerating Clean Energy Savings Program, which should cover about half the cost of the two systems she will need to heat her home.
I've looked at heat pumps for quite some time, and the incentive is what put me over the edge.
The dollars are thanks to a grant from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. EPA in 2024 awarded nearly $40 million to two Southeast-based nonprofits to help install more than 6,000 electric heat pumps across the region. The groups, Southeast Conference and Alaska Heat Smart, started accepting applications about a year ago. But as of early May, they had received less than 600 applications. Just 100 systems have gone in so far. The grant winds down in October of 2029, which means to use the full amount, applications, approvals, and installations will have to pick up dramatically. Jesse Huff manages the energy program at Southeast Conference.
I feel like we're behind, but hopefully we catch up.
Heat pumps are highly efficient, says Paul Carrington, the owner of Clearwater Plumbing and Heating in Haines. That can mean lower bills and less energy use, particularly where the electric grid is primarily fueled by hydropower.
I'd encourage anybody that can afford to install one to get one. You will appreciate it.
Households located along Alaska's Gulf Coast from Metlakatla to Kodiak can apply. That doesn't include Anchorage, Palmer, or Wasilla, but does include the Kenai Peninsula. The address you apply for must be your primary residence, and your main heating system must be oil, propane, gas, or wood. The incentives range from $8,500 to $4,000 based on income. It's a reimbursement after installation for the two upper income tiers. For lower income households, the program pays a pre-approved contractor directly so that the household doesn't owe anything up front. Gunn in Haines qualifies for that option.
Not everybody has $8,500 laying around.
Huff says the low-income program has been harder to get off the ground because it requires finding and certifying contractors who are willing to participate. Carrington of Clearwater Plumbing says his company is happy to install heat pumps, but at least so far, he's decided against participating in the low-income program, which he says would require a lot of extra back-end work.
The amount of paperwork that it creates for us is not worth it for the very few that are going to go in.
Huff of Southeast Conference says the complicated process can be a holdup for households, too.
It is a lot of work for the household. They have to really want to do it, and it's going to cost, you know, money, and a lot of times the incentive doesn't pay for all of it.
To learn more about the program or to apply, visit akheatsmart.org. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfo.
And that's this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news at kbbi.org. This morning's newscast included stories from Michaela Finnerty with Alaska Public Media and Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone, and Avery Elfelt with KHNS. Thanks for listening, and good morning.